From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka reporting. A Turkish airstrike hit the main hospital in Syria's Afrin on Friday night, killing 9 people, the Syrian Kurdish YPG militia and Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said. This comes as the UN Secretary General said Friday that he profoundly regrets that Resolution 2401 has not been implemented. That coming from Secretary General Antonio Guterres. That's the Security Council's unanimous decision that has failed to de-escalate the violence in that region. Mil Arcega reports that British police said Friday they had launched a murder investigation following the death this week of a Russian associate of late tycoon Boris Berezovsky.
The police said in a statement that at this stage there was nothing to suggest a link to the attempted murders of former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter on March 4th, or that poison was even involved. British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson said on Friday, it was overwhelmingly likely, he said, that Russian President Vladimir Putin himself had made the decision to use a military-grade nerve toxin to strike down Sergei Skripal. Russia has denied any involvement. Mil Arcega, VOA News.
During her meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron Friday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel addressed the nerve agent attack on the former Russian spy. Merkel saying, we have the greatest solidarity with our British friends after this nerve agent attack in Salisbury. The Chancellor went on to say, many think Russia is guilty, and she praised the British government for putting the issue on an international level. Macron also condemned the attack. More on VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. 2 Israeli soldiers were killed and another 2 wounded in Friday's Palestinian car ramming attack in the occupied West Bank, according to a military statement. It said one of the dead was an officer and the other was a conscript. Former South African President Jacob Zuma will face charges of fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. Zuma disputes all allegations against him. Sweden's UN ambassador Olof Skoog said Friday his country is trying to help de-escalate tensions on the Korean Peninsula by hosting North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho. It's a visit some global observers believe could help pave the way for a meeting between the leaders of the U.S. and North Korea. Here's Skoog.
The security situation on the peninsula is one of the most pressing issues on the world agenda right now. And if Sweden can play a part in de-escalation there, this is what we're trying to do.
The White House said Friday that U.S. President Donald Trump reaffirmed his plan to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un by the end of May. On Friday, during a call with South Korea's president, voicing cautious optimism over recent developments. Hong Kong's richest man, Lee Ka-shing, announced he was retiring this year at the age of 89. Reuters' Serena Dairam has his rags-to-riches story.
In Hong Kong, he's earned the nickname Superman for his business sense and a rags-to-riches story that matched Hong Kong's rise from a trading outpost to a top financial center. Lee was a penniless immigrant when he arrived in 1940. Now he's worth over $35 billion.
That was reporter Serena Dayaram. So Egyptians living abroad began 3 days of voting in the country's presidential election on Friday. Incumbent Abdel Fattah el-Sisi is expected to beat his only challenger, Musa Mustafa Musa, the head of the Al-Qaeda party. The election has drawn attention from U.S. lawmakers. Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern said there is a bipartisan concern in Congress over events leading up to the election.
Recent developments, including the intimidation and detention of all credible opposition candidates and restrictions imposed on non-governmental groups and the media, are undermining the legitimacy and credibility of these elections.
McGovern said he and some colleagues already have begun drafting a resolution to address their concerns. Voting in Egypt is set for March 26th. A helicopter crash that killed 7 U.S. service members in Iraq is under investigation, according to the U.S. military. The Pentagon said Friday the crash did not appear to be caused by enemy activity. Officials say the aircraft crashed in Iraq's western Anbar province on Thursday afternoon. I'm Liz Pelka in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.